First off, I'd just like to ask, are you surprised that some of the Supreme Court justices, such as Clarence Thomas, feel that the government is going to win its case on the travel ban?
Well, the Supreme Court has always been deferential to the executive branch on immigration issues because immigration touches on national sovereignty and foreign relations. So it's not surprising that some of the justices believe that the president has the authority to ban people from other countries. It's always been a closely divided issue before the Supreme Court, and if this case actually gets to the merits in the fall, I predict it'll be a closely decided decision.
If it does indeed happen, how do you think it will impact refugees and immigrants?
The order by the Supreme Court said that as long as people have a bona fide relationship with someone in the United States, they should be allowed to enter. So people who have family members in the United States should be allowed to enter. So should students who have been admitted to universities. So should employees who have had an employer petition for them to get a work visa. For refugees, if they have a resettlement agency that says they want to sponsor them, I would hope that would constitute the kind of close relationship that the Supreme Court outlined to allow them to enter. But a lot will depend on the discretion and subjective feelings of consular officers overseas and immigration inspectors at the border. So a lot of confusion could result.
Do you feel the president should be developing policies like this to protect us from the potential of terrorism?
Sure, no one wants a terrorist to be able to enter the United States. And if we can improve our vetting procedures to better protect us, that's great. And in part of the travel ban is to simply put a pause on entry to the United States for 90 days so that the Departments of Homeland Security and the State Department can figure out what extra procedures we should put in place. But there's at some point in which the costs outweigh the benefits. And so if foreign students cannot come to U.S. universities or needed employees cannot work for companies that need them, or refugees cannot get safe haven from persecution, then we go too far. And so there's always a question of what is the appropriate balance, and we'll see in 90 days after the government does its review as to what those new procedures are and whether they get to the right point in the spectrum. Even if the Supreme Court rules that the president has the authority to impose a travel ban, it doesn't necessarily mean that the president will do that or will continue the existing travel ban.
Do you feel that he is targeting Muslims given the countries on his list?
Yes, I do. The six countries are Muslim-majority countries. There are other countries, however, that also have a lot of Muslims in them that are not on the list. This is a pretty blanket travel ban. It's not targeted very precisely, and I hope that the government's internal review will figure out a way to more precisely target those particular individuals who may pose terrorism concerns rather than all citizens of a particular country. It's hard to believe, you know, that a baby who's 2 years old from Syria or a grandmother who's 75 years old from Yemen really poses a security risk.
Should the U.S. always be welcoming to refugees and immigrants and also striking that balance as we were previously covering there and the president expressing, I have to protect our country from terrorism acts?
Well, there always is a balancing test. Studies have shown that immigrants do contribute economically to the United States, so they benefit us. And so we need to figure out what are the right kinds of immigrants we want to admit to the United States. Refugees, we have an international obligation to accept under a UN refugee convention that we signed back in 1967. So we have to do certain things. Hopefully, the president, through his cabinet-level officers, can find the appropriate balance.
What types of discussions are you focused on, even in classes, with all this unfolding?
Cornell has many international students who are potentially affected by the travel ban, and so we're consulting with them what this latest Supreme Court order means for them. On the one hand, the fact that the Supreme Court explicitly said that students admitted to a university have the kind of close relationship required is a good thing, meaning that they should be able to travel overseas for the summer and return. On the other hand, they could have to undergo additional background checks that would delay their return to the United States. So each international student will have to make their own decision as to whether they want to leave the United States. And if they do, they should take documentation to prove their affiliation with Cornell or whatever university they're attending. And they should apply for visa interviews as early as possible because there are likely to be delays.
And the work that you do at the center there, if you can speak as to your thinking of the travel ban.
Sure. I teach an immigration policy seminar each fall at Cornell Law School, and I also co-direct an asylum clinic each spring where we help asylum applicants apply for asylum. And so I know the plight of asylum seekers and refugee applicants firsthand. It's appropriate to take a pause and to try to come up with better vetting procedures. But the vetting procedures for refugees is already very strenuous. So we have what President Trump has called extreme vetting already. I'm not sure what the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security are going to be able to do to improve on what they do already.
And if you can clarify for me, refugee versus immigrants here.
Under international and U.S. law, to qualify as a refugee, a person has to have a well-founded fear of persecution, and that's laid out in various treaties and cases. By contrast, an immigrant is someone who wants to come to the United States, maybe to make a better life for themselves or their children, and to be able to immigrate legally, they need to fit into one of several categories. Either they're married to a U.S. citizen, or they have a U.S. company that is sponsoring them, and that U.S. company has proven that they cannot find a U.S. worker to do that job, or they may qualify through the diversity lottery. Overall, we admit over 1 million people a year in one or more of these various categories. Over 750,000 people a year immigrate based on their family relationships. Another 140,000 a year get admitted based on their employment characteristics. 50,000 a year get admitted based on the diversity green card lottery. And another 50 to 100,000 qualify as either refugees or asylum seekers. So we have a very big green card system, and refugees and asylum seekers are just sort of one relatively small part of that big system.
Well, Steve, I greatly appreciate your time and the discussion here.